Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 425, He Keeps Me Singing. Be seated.
I almost fell down. That would have been funny, wouldn't it? Good morning, Hillcrest Baptist Church. It is good to be in the house of God this morning. Just have a few announcements for you. We do have a regular service tonight with Brother Bobby, I believe, is going to be leading us in God's Word this morning. Brother Don will be giving us word. So be in prayer for those gentlemen. Be in prayer for our pastor as he and Miss Rhonda are on vacation and hopefully getting some much-deserved rest. Wednesday night we have normal activities going on. RAs, GAs, mission friends, youth will all be meeting, and of course prayer meeting in here on Wednesday night. If you haven't noticed the big building out in the back, it is coming along quite wonderfully. I hope you're in prayer for that building as we continue to work on it and continue to finish things up. And I'm prayerful that we'll be moved in at the beginning of 2022. It's exciting stuff. And so be in prayer for that. Be in prayer for the workers and those involved in that. And be in prayer of what your role will be once that building opens up and how we can serve this community and serve Clarksville through that building. But I want to welcome everybody to Hillcrest this morning, and especially our visitors. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to stand up and we're going to sing. And I think we can...
You're still waving?
Pastor said we're still waving from afar. So, wave from afar.
Oh,
may be seated.
Good to have you all here today. Let us pray. Almighty God, this is our time. We recognize you as our sovereign, powerful, wonderful maker and creator. We lift up this time, dear God, that it be holy and wonderful and pure and beautiful in your eyes as we come and worship the great creator of all. May we please you in all that we do here today, Lord. We thank thee for everything that you're doing through us here at this church. Continue to work, dear God. Work in the hearts. And I ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 4, To God Be the Glory, number 4. Please stand as we move on to number 2, Holy, 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 number 2.
saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, upwards and upwards and evermore shalt be.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being the Lord of our lives and for being Christ. Heavenly Father, I do lift up this body of believers to you right now. I pray, Lord, that as we sit together and listen to your words, Father God, that we would take your words and apply them to our lives. That, Father God, when we walk out of this building, that we would be changed. That we would go and seek those who are lost to share your good news. Father God, I lift up Brother Don as he has prepared words that you have given him. I pray, Lord, that you would speak directly to him, through him, to our hearts. Father God, we ask your blessings upon the tithes and offerings that were given, that you would take those and use those for the furtherance of your kingdom. Father, we love you and praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. When in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old accounts were settled long ago, and the record's cleared today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin, for thus he hath provided for you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it, you settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago.
Wow, I see a lot of you didn't get the word that I was preaching today. There's a story. A man was not satisfied with where he was in life, and so he decided he wanted to be something that he was not. So he went out and bought a full-blown baseball outfit that belonged to an old professional baseball player. He bought a new glove and he bought a new bat. And then when spring training started in the professional leagues, he stepped upon to the field of a professional team and walked out there just as the others did, ready for training. And when the roster was read, the manager looked over and saw he had one more there than what was on the roster. And he went over to the man and said, "And who are you?" And he told him. And he said, "You're not on my roster." And he summoned the security people and had him thrown off the field. They say 90% of the people in the country of the United States of America say that they are Christians. 90%. Our scripture reading starts in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15. And he says in God's word, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth, the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the words were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up to the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let us pray. Almighty God, this is your time, Lord. Remove this servant of yours and speak through me. Take Don away from here, Lord, and take control. This is your time. Work in the hearts of those that are here, including mine, that we may see what you have for us today. That when we leave here today, we can say, truly, we are better than what we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. It says in verse 12. The book of life. That book is where every Christian's name that is a Christian, their name is written in that book. And if that name is not found in that book, he says in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I want you to understand, those that pass away, those that die now before the coming of Christ, they don't get to go to heaven. They go to hell. And hell's not the final judgment. The lake of fire is the final judgment, for it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25, which is where we'll spend most of our time the rest of this morning with. Rather a lengthy piece of scripture, but if you bear with me, we can get through this. Chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And it's talking about the servants. Chapter 25, verse 14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his own ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2 talents. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent of him, and give it unto him which hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This story is what's called a parable. It's a physical story with a spiritual meaning behind it. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of heaven, of course, but the man traveling afar into a far country is the Lord Jesus. The servants are those that have come and said, I am yours to serve for you, Lord. And he gave them, and this is not going to be a sermon on tithing and offerings, or even though it talks about talents and money. It's again a physical story with a spiritual meaning. The talents are the gifts that God has given to those that will use them. But it's up to us whether we use them or not. And he said, he gave them unto, he gave unto one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1 talent. Now pay attention to this part of that verse. To every man according to his own ability. And then Jesus went off on his journey. One day he's coming back. And he'll have an account of what those servants, which I'm looking at all plus me, will take an account of what they've done with those gifts. Every man to according to his own ability. This trust was committed to them by the Lord. He gave it to them and trusted that they would do something with it. In the army, the worst leader you can ever have is one that won't make a decision. He won't do anything. So he entrusted us with these abilities that he's given us. And then it's the amount he entrusted us with. Some more than others. We're not to be jealous of somebody because they can read music, sing good, play the piano, teach Sunday school and all that. If God has given us one thing to do, then we should do it. Amen. As unto the Lord. And then he took his journey. Then it says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. You've seen it before. A Christian becomes a new Christian and all of a sudden they're just on fire for the Lord. And they start working for the Lord. And they start doing this and they're really good with it. And they start doing, next thing you know, they're doing all these different things and they're doing them real well. This is what happens when you turn yourself over unto the Lord. As a Christian, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. It's not about Don anymore. It's about Jesus Christ the Lord. There's nothing in this earth that I can claim that is mine other than my Savior. I can't even claim myself. The car in the driveway where I live is not mine, it's the Lord's. The house is the Lord's. The checkbook is the Lord's. The wife is the Lord's. The children is the Lord's. Nothing belongs to me. I entered into the world naked and now I'll go out of the world naked. With nothing. So there's nothing I can claim is mine. And you'll see this. And likewise, he that had received the 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received the one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Notice that as soon as the Lord left, they all went and did. They didn't wait. It doesn't say that they waited. They went and did. Then he that had received the money, the talents, the five talents. Then he that had received the two talents. But he that received the one. They all went and did with what they were given. Immediately. The two that had been given much were diligent and faithful. They were busy doing for the Lord. They sought to get for the Lord what they thought would be good for the Lord. This is a Christian. Which brings me to the title of my sermon, I Am a Christian. It's got a question mark at the end of it if you see it in the bulletin. Just by a person saying that they are does not make what they are. James said, faith without works is dead. So a Christian gets busy for the Lord. And, oh, by the way, a Christian stays busy for the Lord. They seek out what they can do more for the Lord. And that's why they doubled what they have been given by the Lord. Then there was the servant that hid what he had been given. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his talent or his money. Matthew Henry, and I'm going to be quoting him a bit here. I really love his commentary. It says, hiding your talents or spiritual gifts does good to nobody. Many have them and make no use of them for the end of for which they were given them. In other words, you don't make use of it for what purpose they were giving you to use them for. They do not stir up the gift that is in them. In other words, you don't really practice it. You don't try to stir it up. You're not happy that you've been given it. And are slothful servants that seek their own things more than Christ. Then the master returns. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and settled the accounts with them. So he that received the five talents came and brought the other five talents, saying, Lord, I delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained other talents, two other talents beside. And the Lord said the same thing to him. My good and faithful servant. These two servants were able to come before the Lord and hand him back what they had given him. Besides handing him back what he had given them originally, they gave more. Said, look, Lord, they're not bragging. They're glorifying God by their gift of return to him. It's like the little boy that goes out in a yard in the springtime and gathers up about 1,000 dandelion blossoms and brings them to Mom and says, Mom, look what I did for you. He's not doing that to brag about himself. He loves his mother, and he says, I'm doing a special thing for you. Look, Lord, this is what I've done for you. I brought you 2 more besides the 2 you've given me. Or 5 more besides the 5 you've given me. Lord, look. And they acknowledge it with thanksgiving. Not only you gave me 5, but thank you, Lord, for allowing me to do this for you. For there's nothing we do that we do of ourselves as Christians. It's not about Don. It's never about Don. Look at me, look at me. I. No, it's not. Look at him, look at him. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. They gave an account as an evidence of their faithfulness. James 3:13 says, Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or conduct his works with meekness and wisdom. Then there's the master's acceptance of what they have given. This is so tremendous. I hope to hear this one day. The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be awesome to stand before Jesus and him say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he said almost the same exact thing to the one that brought the 2 talents. So he treated them alike. Even though one had done 5 times more than the other and brought back 10 as opposed to 4 or 2, he treated them the same because they did what they were asked to do. They were faithful servants in serving their God. And the reward was great. He commended them and he rewarded them. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. I want you to understand those 3 words. I knew thee. You know, there's not going to be a single person ever was, ever am, and ever will be that will not acknowledge the Lord as who he am. A day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I knew thee. That thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. His apology, in other words. I know you're a hard person. I know. And I was afraid. I'm sorry, but I was afraid. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. I knew you are a hard person. I know the rules are strict about what it is to be what I say I am. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ the Lord. And unless you repent of your sins, you can't get there. There's only one way to heaven. And that's if your name is written in the book of life. And you can't get there unless you repent of your sin. He said, here it is, what you gave me. It's yours. I didn't give you back less. It's all there. Excuses. Jesus talks about excuses. Backing up to chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 21 through 23, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The verse in James that says, faith without works is dead, but so is works without faith. It's dead. The two are coupled. You do works in this world that are evil, it speaks of you in a different manner than those that do works that are good. But without faith in Jesus Christ, your works are dead. And the Lord answered. So comes the Lord's conviction. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Slothfulness is defined by Matthew Henry in his commentary. Those who have the least to do for God frequently do the least of what they have to do. They take the least that they have been given to do and even go farther than that. They do the least amount that they have to do to accomplish that. They make an excuse for their laziness that they have not the opportunities of serving God that others have. And because they have not the wherewithal to do what they say they would, they will not do what we were sure they could, and so sit down and do nothing. They do nothing. There's no reason for doing nothing. If you go out to accomplish nothing, surely you will accomplish it. He said, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Or you take your gift out and use it a little bit, you'd have brought something back. Take therefore the talent of him and give it unto him that has ten. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable service into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There was another servant once. He's written in a Bible. You never hear of him doing really anything for Christ. Ever. In chapter 27 of Matthew, starting in verse 1 through 5, it says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that." Here's a man that walked 3 years with Christ the Lord. Here's the man that listened to the teachings of Christ the Lord for 3 years. He ate with him. He slept in the same location with him. He was out there doing with Christ. And it says, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself. The translation of that is, he felt bad about it. The difference between Judas and the thief on the cross is the thief on the cross took his sin one step farther. He acknowledged his sin before Christ. He said, look, we are rightly on this cross, for we have done wrong. But this man is unjustly being crucified on the cross. And then he acknowledges Jesus as Lord. Remember me in the day when you come to your kingdom. He repented of what he had done. Judas had not. Judas could have gone to Christ that moment, that day, and said, Lord, I really messed up. Please, Lord, forgive me. And today he would be in heaven's courses with Christ. But he didn't. Excuse me. In John chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." We are to be fruit bearers. We are to be out here telling Jesus, telling people about Christ. We are to be out helping the poor, the oppressed. We are to be helping the orphaned. We're to be helping our neighbors. We're to be Christ here in a church, which is us, in the community, which is the people of Clarksville, even in your automobiles. They say you are what you are in a car. And it's a true saying, right? And the hardest place that there is to be a Christian, which is in your home. I say that's the hardest place because you can go into the doors of your house, close the doors, close the windows, close the curtains, and be what you want to be. But you fail to realize that Christ is there. He sees all and knows all. It is us. We have to be Christians. And the only way we can be Christians with that start when we acknowledge Christ as Lord and surrender ourselves to Him through repentance. It says, there shall be wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. There is weeping which speaks of great sorrow, and gnashing of teeth which speaks of great torment and indignation. This will be the portion of the slothful servant. The person that hides what they've been asked by Christ to do. The person that takes what they've been asked to do and sits on it. When it comes time that my Savior comes back to take an account, He will not ask me what I did. I will gladly lay it at His feet, for He already knows what I've done. A Christian gives their whole heart to God, their whole heart. They give their whole heart to God in love. It says in Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and all thy strength. And Jesus took it farther in Matthew where He says, And the second is as great as the first, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Our whole heart to God in love. There should be not a single person in this world that you hate. For God so loved the world. Remember? There's not a one in this world that God hates. He loves everyone. He died on the cross for everyone. Doesn't matter what they're doing. You ever told a fib? That's just as worse, just as bad as murder in God's eyes. Sin is sin is sin. We're to love everyone, and we're to love them with the love of Christ. A Christian gives their whole heart to God in obedience. Oh boy, that's the one that caused all this mess to begin with. It says in Psalm 119:2, Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. They keep the testimonies of God. If you look up in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that's God's testimony. We're to live like Christ. A Christian gives their whole heart to God in trust. A lot of you know this verse. Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Do you trust the Lord with your whole heart? When He says to do something, do you march forward as the two did? Well, they all three marched forward. Just one of them, he stopped short and quit. You know, Charles Spurgeon said, even a snail makes progress forward. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, there's one time I asked God, show me what this looks like, Lord. Boy, was that an eye-opening experience. That week, I was getting a carport built at the house, and he finished it up. The same day I was laid off from work. Is that sweet? And God took care of me. A Christian gives their whole heart to God in prayer. Jeremiah 29:13, And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. When you seek God in those times of troubles, I mean, this, think back of the most dire, hurtful, ornery time that you ever went through in your life, and you were on your knees weeping before God, pleading with Him. Well, guess what? That's supposed to be our way of seeking Him all the time, with all of our heart, with a fervency, a craving to have time with God. And then where's a seek God, a give their whole heart to God in repentance. This is a hard one, isn't it? Repenting. Getting down on my knees. Here I go again, Lord. Well, that's an attitude there. That's not repentance. Joel 2:12, it says, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." It doesn't mean that your eyes are flooding tears across your face. It's this in here that matters. When your heart is crushed because of what you've done, and you go before God and say, "Lord, please forgive me. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Think about that now. Come on. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." John the Baptist said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus said, when he first started his ministry, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Everybody knows pretty much John chapter 3. There's a lot of good stuff in John chapter 3. There's John 3:3 where he's talking to Nicodemus. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And he talks to Nicodemus and tells him about how to get saved. Nicodemus never accepted that, though. It never shows anywhere where he accepted that. He helped Joseph of Arimathea bury Jesus. But still, even then, that was just a work. He was just helping somebody. Everybody helps somebody in this world. And then there's John 3:16, everybody's favorite. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." But here's one that nobody really looks at a lot. And it's a warning. John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son of hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Jesus died for you. But He did something else that no other has ever done, that no other religion can claim. He rose again, and He ascended to heaven, and He said, "I'm coming back." Chapter 25, verse 13. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. He's coming again. And when he comes, there's going to be an accounting of what you've done. So what have you done? Are you doing now? Do you even know him? These are the questions you should be asking yourself right now. Is it I, Lord? The invitation is this morning. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, come. If you've hid your talent and you don't know for sure that your name is written down in the book of life, come. If you want to be a part of this, where we join together and work for the glory of God to reach out to the community, come. Whatever is on your heart, don't leave today without taking care of it. Come. Almighty God, I just lift up this time now. I lift up this time, Lord. This is especially your time. Lord, use this time that you may be glorified. Use this time that you may be glorified. Take the hearts that are stone and turn them into flesh, and then work the works that you do, Lord. And I ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Won't you come?
Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life, placed your hand in the nail-scarred end? Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred end. Place your hand in the nail-scarred end. Hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred end. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred end. Are you walking alone through the shadows dim? Place your hand in the nail-scarred end. Christ will comfort your hearts. Put your trust in him. Place your hand in the nail-scarred end. Place your hand in the nail-scarred end. Place your hand in the nail-scarred end. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred end.
wisdom.